Welcome to Nerd Heaven. I'm Adam David Collings, the author of Jewel of the Stars, and I am a nerd. This is episode 8 of the podcast. We're getting closer to the end of the 10 episodes and movies that I recommend you watch before Star Trek Picard. This time, we pick up right where we left off last week with Star Trek Voyager, The Gift. The description on IMDb reads, 7 of 9, the Borg drone that Voyager severed from the collective tries to resist as her natural human physiology tries to regenerate. It's up to Captain Janeway to convince her to embrace her humanity and join the Voyager crew. Meanwhile, Kes's telekinetic powers grow to such a point that she can no longer control them. In order to prevent Voyager from being destroyed, she decides she must leave the ship. And this episode first aired on the 10th of September, 1997. Let's do it. It's nice to see that all the Borg technology is still covering the hull of Voyager. It's a little depressing that this is praiseworthy, but Voyager was infamous for pushing the reset button and setting everything back to the status quo. Of course, by the end of this episode, Voyager will be all back to normal again, but you can't have everything. The cargo bay is likewise still largely assimilated. Janeway and the Doctor are faced with a bit of a quandary. Since they shorted out Seven and disconnected her from the collective, her human immune system has started rejecting the Borg technology. They're having to remove it to save her life. This is the last thing she wants. She wishes to be returned to the collective. And that's not an unreasonable request. But if they just leave her on a planet to be picked up, she'll die. And Janeway won't risk meeting up with a Borg ship to hand her over. Remember, Seven's last act was attempting to assimilate Voyager. There's a lot of medical ethics questions going on in this episode. Meanwhile, Kes's telepathic abilities are still in a state of hyperstimulation since her contact with Species 8472. She's developing telekinetic abilities. We get a little backstory about Seven. Her parents fancied themselves explorers, but didn't want to work with Starfleet. They just set off as a family into the Delta Quadrant and were never heard from again. Sounds like a really interesting story. A later Voyager episode will retcon this backstory and trample all over established canon regarding the Borg. In my opinion, that was a travesty. Despite that, it was a good episode. In any case, in a lot of ways, Seven's story mirrors Hugh's story, in that it's opposite. Hugh embraced his newfound individuality and wanted to stay on the Enterprise. He only went back to protect his new friends. Seven wants very much to return to the collective, but Janeway isn't giving her a choice. Seven has the ethical right to refuse the Doctor's treatment. That's how it works in the real world, too. But Janeway chooses to take that right away from her. Seven was forcibly assimilated by the Borg. Her ability to choose for herself was removed. In Janeway's mind, Seven is incapable of choosing for herself until she has regained that individuality. I have no doubt that little Onika Hansen would want the Borg technology removed, but Seven isn't Onika anymore. It's a very complex issue. Kes's superpowers are proving to be very useful in sickbay. She locates and dissolves a Borg implant that is killing Seven using her mind. Have you noticed that the Borg tends to have an optical implant that replaces their human eye? The Doctor has to create an artificial eye for Seven that will look human. The reason Picard doesn't have this is because his eye was never modified when he was turned into Locutus. I guess the Borg were too busy trying to assimilate Earth to give him his eyepiece. When Hugh was disconnected, he experienced loneliness. He missed the other voices. Seven is experiencing the exact same thing. Hugh was able to fill that role with friendship. Seven's personality is very different. She's a lot more aggressive. Friendship is not going to come easily for her. Kessa's abilities are growing, and thankfully so is her ability to control them. Tuvok is impressed, but he starts to freak out, in a very dignified Vulcan way, of course, when she sees into a new level of reality beyond the subatomic. Seven takes the opportunity to try to contact the Borg when the option presents itself. I don't blame her. In her mind, she's a prisoner. Of course she'll attempt escape. Of course, if she succeeds, the Voyager crew will likely be assimilated. Luckily, Kes is there again to use her superpowers to save the day. But the use of her powers is damaging the ship. There is some fascinating irony to Seven's impassioned speech. "We do not want to be what you are," she says. We've heard those words spoken by humans to Borg. Seven makes some convincing arguments that Janeway is being hypocritical. And there is the implication that even after Seven regains her individuality, if she chooses to return the collective, Janeway may not allow it. Assuming you've watched this episode before, you know that Kes will be leaving the show here. She and Neelix have one last date together. We haven't really seen them together like this in a long time. I was never a fan of the Neelix-Kes breakup. First of all, it makes zero sense. It was a parasitic alien controlling her body that broke up with Neelix, not Kes. But after she was herself again, somehow, for some reason, they're not together anymore. But even if it had been done in a logical way, I still wouldn't have liked it. Theirs was a sweet and loving relationship, and it was a very welcome addition to Star Trek. I was not keen on Kes leaving the show either. Don't get me wrong, I love that we got Seven. She was an interesting character. But so was Kes. I really liked her. She had so much potential that the writers didn't explore. It seems that they weren't sure what to do with her. Ocumpans only live for 9 years. We could have seen her age from youth through middle age and approach the end of her life over the course of the show. That would have been absolutely fascinating. Plus, Jennifer Lien was an amazing actor. But, oh well. Now, here's where it gets weird. Kes admits to Neelix that she still loves him. She always will. It's just that... And then she hesitates. And then Neelix makes a joke about her hating his cooking. She's never able to explain why their relationship ended. Because there is no answer. Because the writers couldn't provide one. Because the whole thing was rubbish and made no sense. Okay, rant over. When Kes explains what's happening to her, Neelix replies with, "That sounds..." And then he stumbles over his words and ends with, "Interesting." I love that line. So wonderfully delivered by Ethan Phillips. It's kind of how I feel when my wife talks about medical stuff, or how she feels when I talk about computer programming. So Kes is ascending to a higher plane, or converting into an energy being, or becoming godlike, whatever you want to call it. She's dissolving into superhumanness. Kes gets meaningful goodbye moments with the most important characters in her life in this episode. Neelix, the Doctor, Janeway and Tuvok. In Janeway's mind, she is restoring what was stolen from Onika Hansen, rescuing her. And that perspective makes sense as well. What's interesting is that Janeway is having a similar conversation with Kes that she's having with Seven. Kes wants to leave the ship and embrace the change. Janeway doesn't want to let her go. She's not convinced it's the best thing for Kes. "It's my choice," she says. "Would you really try to stop me?" The exact same question that Seven is asking. In this case, Janeway says, "No, I won't force you to stay." So, is this a double standard? From Janeway's perspective, Kes is of sound mind, while Seven is an instrument of the continuum. I really like how the two character plots mirror each other thematically in this episode. The tension as they try to get Kes off the ship before she blows it up is pretty good. There's no real question anymore. Kes is a danger to the ship. She can't stay. And this is nice. Kes gives her friends a parting gift. She uses her superpowers to thrust Voyager well clear of Borg space, 10 years closer to home. Voyager would often get little jumps forward like this from time to time, but this was the first time, and man, did it feel triumphant. The episode closes with our first glimpse of Seven of Nine, the human. She has agreed to remain on board. She has a long journey ahead of her, but this is the beginning. Her origin story has now been told. We know from the trailer that the Seven we see in Star Trek Picard will be a very different person than the one we get to know in Voyager. She grows a great deal on this show, and she's obviously continued to grow since Voyager ended. So, are you looking forward to seeing Seven again in the new show? I'm certainly looking forward to seeing who she has become and learning what she's been up to all these years. And it's nice to see that they're finally no longer dressing her in that ridiculous tight catsuit. Well, next time we're looking at the infamous Star Trek Nemesis. Yes, it's the movie that everyone hates, but it's very important because it presents us with the TNG characters as we last saw them. There's a lot of setup in this movie that the new one will pick up on, so it's vital viewing. It'll be an interesting experience. I'll see you then. Live long and prosper. Make it so.